Part 3, Bono, the Rolling Stone Interview. This podcast is sponsored by Rolling Stone Magazine. Take advantage of a great discounted subscription rate available only on our website at www.rollingstone.com. And now, back to Rolling Stone editor and publisher Jan S. Wenner's exclusive interview with Bono.
When you're going to go sit down with George Bush, what do you have to do to prepare for this meeting? I mean, not in terms of politics, but psychologically, I'm not going to curse less. I'm going to keep my language in check, or I'm going to keep certain things in check. Or how do you prepare for meeting with the president?
I have no fear of politicians or presidents or prime ministers, and I think they should be afraid of me, because they will be held accountable for what happened on their watch to the poorest and the most vulnerable people. And I'm representing the poorest and the most vulnerable people. And so on a spiritual level, I have that with me. When I'm throwing a punch, it's not mine. The fist belongs to people who can't be in the room, whose rage, whose anger, whose hurt I represent. I have the ear of the president. I'm not throwing a punch at the president, but you know what I mean. I'm saying the moral force is way beyond mine. It's an argument that has much more weight than I have, and I'm not feeling nervous. Yes, am I going to watch my mouth? Yes, I am. I'm trying to in general, haven't you noticed? No more. I'm trying not to. And I'm trying to be respectful of people's... I know he doesn't have to meet me, an Irish rock star in the Oval Office. But remember, before I'm going in there, I know he's already set to double aid to Africa. So I want to shake this man's hand.
You're meeting him next week, right? What are you expecting out of him next week?
Next week's meeting is just a sort of a catching up thing. More, I want to talk about this Millennium Challenge, because the model we worked on together for a new kind of aid, it's called the Millennium Challenge, it is really actually the future for the way aid is distributed, not just in America, but in the rest of the world. What it was when we arrived with this administration, they said, there's no way they're going to increase foreign assistance to Africa. Any pan-African idea, you can forget about it. So I had argued, but if, because they felt, the money, we couldn't see where the money was going, it'll be redecorating presidential palaces, corruption. So I said, well, where we can show where the money's going, where there is real leadership, and where there is clear and transparent process, will you at least agree to increase aid to these countries? So it became a reward, in effect, for tackling corruption, the Millennium Challenge. So, and it was $10 billion over 3 years, so it was significant.
He made, in 2002, he promised $10 billion for this. In January, he's only asked Congress for $3 billion.
Yeah.
And that's been reduced by half by a committee in the House. And actually, $400 million has been given out today,
right,
out of the $10 billion he promised.
Yeah.
Then you this summer, on Meet the Press, said that I know he wants to be generous and give this, but his advisors have to break with fiscal conservativity, your word, on this issue. This is the moment to be generous right now, I'm sure of that. What evidence do you have that he wants to be generous? I mean, he can control these purse strings, and he's not given the money. He's made a promise to you. He's not come through on that promise, except in that way you just described. He's put the barest minimum into this. And he controls the Congress.
We're disappointed with the speed, with the flow, and the speed of the flow. And yet, it's in our interest, too, that this money is not misspent. Because I have to go to Congress, left and right, and make the case for this money. And I don't want to be standing there in 3 years embarrassed because the money went to the wrong people. So the care taken to get this right is important to me, and that's part of why the flow of money has been slow. Second reason is because it didn't, in my opinion, get enough attention
from
the administration. And we have had those discussions, and we have made our, you know, we've criticized them on this. But in a funny thing, what happened was our work to get an historic AIDS initiative going passed out the Millennium Challenge. And I can report that the money for that, which is $15 billion, is flying out the door. And within a year, they had 180,000 Africans on antiretroviral drugs within a year. It is the most remarkable thing. PEPFAR is the name of the organization. And we had fought with them. We would prefer the money to go through the Global Health Fund. It's not Clinton's, but it's Kofi asked for it to set up. It's not part of the UN. Mm-hmm. The Global Health Fund to fight TB/AIDS and malaria is where we wanted the money to go. Mm-hmm. A multilateral initiative.
Mm-hmm.
The allergic to multilateral initiatives, mm-hmm. the president had pushed for a unilateral thing, mm-hmm. so, i.e. setting up a whole new office to mm-hmm. deal with the AIDS emergency. It's called PEPFAR. It's a man called Oliver Tobias runs it. And they have done hugely impressive work. So that does not excuse the fact that the Millennium Challenge was not set up with the same kind of sense of emergency. It doesn't excuse that, but it does show that a commitment to our issues has been forthcoming.
Well, going back to the Millennium Challenge for a second, I mean, when you get a promise of $10 billion,
yes,
and then 3 years later, all that's been sent out is $400 million, which is peanuts in the scheme of what we spend these days.
Yeah,
you know, when that's like half a day's spending these days in Iraq on war. What evidence do you have that he wants to be generous?
I
mean, where is?
I think the AIDS initiative banks up the sincerity of the commitment.
Well, take the then
to the poorest of poor. The Millennium Challenge. The money is still promised, remember?
Promised.
And
he makes a lot of promises.
The money is still promised. Look, we're in the checks business. I know more than anyone that politicians have to sign checks rather than cash them. But signing them is the first step. And we've got that sign on for that money. That money will come through.
You're going to tell me now you're going to get that...
$10 billion, yes.
$10 billion. Let's talk about the AIDS thing for a second. This guy, Tobias, who you mentioned.
Yeah.
So more money has been spent on the AIDS... I mean, you had a goal of $15 billion for 5 years for the AIDS emergency plan for AIDS in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked Congress for $2 billion, which is $1 billion less than had been expected for the first 5 years. He's already trimmed it by a third. Congress approves $400 million more than he requested, probably due to your work with these people.
That's great.
He blocks that increase. But what I want to ask you about is his administration, this ambassador, Randall Tobias, have written guidelines telling that we can't use this money to fund condoms, that they have to preach abstinence, right? So Brazil has now refused the money that the United States offered because they will not sign a pledge to condemn prostitution to receive as a condition to receiving AIDS help. And Uganda, which had one of the most successful of all the African programs, where AIDS infection rate fell from 15% to 6%.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
They have had to now reverse their policies and abandon free condom distribution to keep the money from the United States flowing. So now it looks like they are going to have a reversal in the rate, because now they have to program has to be absent. So you've got this money.
That's not going to happen.
Well, you've got a. But what I'm saying, you've got this. It's Tobias. These are written guidelines. The United States government saying they cannot distribute countries. So you've got these policies are being held hostage. This kind of religious right wing ideology.
Right.
Is that a?
There's two questions.
Is that about saving lives, or is it more about promoting a political religious agenda? I mean, what?
Okay. There's two questions here.
Okay.
Let me answer the first one.
Please.
First one is about spending on AIDS. And the numbers you're referring to are across two accounts. One, the PEPFAR account, the United States AIDS Emergency Fund. And two, the Global Health Fund's account. The money was low in the Global Health Fund. And we have been, and Congress... has been heroic, in my opinion, in pushing those numbers up, particularly coming from the Senate. And people you wouldn't expect, like Rick Santorum and people to very conservative people, have been fighting for the Global Health Fund. The president rather spends the money his way, though he's part of the Global Health Fund. But the money that he committed on PEPFAR, there is no issues with that. That has gone out the door exactly as promised, exactly as predicted.
Unconditional.
No. Now that's the second question. Okay. Just good. Second question is, okay, so he favors this unilateral approach, which has a conservative agenda attached to it. Okay. This is true. However, you do not. The ABC program, as it's known, is pretty much accepted by most religious groups, very very conservative groups. ABC, the ABC thing means abstinence, be faithful, and condoms. The C is in there. And that is the balance that this administration wants to see, and they only want to back programs where they see that in a sort of in harmony. Now that doesn't rule out the countries getting money from the Global Health Fund. It's just that is the way this administration sees its prevention campaign. But the main body of the money here is not going to the prevention campaign. The main body of the money is going to antiretroviral drugs. Now, just for a second, step back in time. Even three years ago, I was laughed at. You would be laughed at. And I was laughed at for suggesting that a conservative administration is going to distribute expensive antiretroviral AIDS drugs to Africans. I mean, people just say, you are out of your mind if you think that's going to happen. And there was a sense that these Africans are having sex without any... in an irresponsible fashion, and we're not going to pay the bills for it. Okay, think of the change that the United States I'm quick to bring bad news, but on AIDS, the United States is way out in front now, and this president did that, and I'm sure he took a beating from his right for doing that. These are expensive drugs. Now, it is an amusing thing to me to find that the President Clinton, coming from the left, is out negotiating with corporations for the generic drug price to come down, and the conservative President Bush is giving him away.
What can you do to hold Bush to his promise on the Millennium Challenge account?
I can work the Congress And the best way I can work the Congress is to show that this money that has gone out the door, will go out the door over the next year or two, is being spent well. That's the only way I'm going to get the money.
Do you think that...
In truth, that's the only way. And which is partly why I'm not rushing the money out the door, because I do not want any... We're trying to prove a principle here. Mm-hmm. If the principle...
Mm-hmm. You don't want to confront somebody and say, well, look, you just built this palace with that money. We're not going to...
I don't want that. That's our... By the way, compared to President Bush's slowness on the Millennium Challenge, which he signed up to, is comparatively a much smaller problem to me than the United States Congress and more than that, the United States people not believing that aid works. And that's the point we have to make. And all of us who work on these issues, that's what we have to do, show that aid works.
You got pushed open the door. Now it's up to you to go work all the back forces to push stuff through that door.
Yeah. The only way Congress will get out of the way of this money is if we lobby them by showing measurable results.
Also, Bush has the power and strength to go to Congress and do this. He's demonstrated this throughout, that he will ram through any number of programs.
Has done for his own AIDS plan, because he believes that it could be scaled up effectively.
On
the Millennium Challenge, look,
that one's just
somebody needed. If somebody like had been as effective as Oliver Tobias was with his AIDS fund in the Millennium Challenge, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Are you prepared to use your power to shame, as you did with the Canadian Prime Minister, for him not going back on his foreign aid pledge?
Yeah, and we're constantly carping. We're constantly putting stories.
You went public with the Canadian Prime Minister
in the press. Yeah, I've been public about the Millennium Challenge. We had a what was known in the Washington Post as a good old row, you may remember, and I had Republican senators, one in very angry that I had gotten so angry and had gone out of a meeting with the president to the stakeout and roundly criticized him for the slowness in the Millennium Challenge and was public about this good old row that we had had. And, you know, one senator threw a newspaper at me in a meeting. How dare you disrespect the President of the United States? So, you know, things have got pretty... We're not... There's no shrinking violets here. We're capable of having a rap.
Would you do that from the stage?
If... I don't believe that...
it's not a useful tactic.
I don't believe that the president is going to betray his commitment to the Millennium Challenge. Finally, and I think he's done a remarkable job on AIDS.
I'm pursuing a line here, which is that you're getting criticized for making a deal with Bush.
Mm-hmm.
There's cynicism about that.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe you've made a deal with the devil here.
I don't support any. President, whether from the left or from the right, I support or do not support what they do in the area that.
What do you think about
we
it?
We are discussing.
What Can about the war in Iraq?
When President Clinton, after many months and years of us all working on this, including him and his treasury. Working hard into the night, down the corridors of power in Congress, speaking to appropriators. People like Larry Summers do that. You ask him when you see mm-hmm. him next week, if you come. The United States share of bilateral debt at that time was in the year when those passed was $435 million. And we jumped up and down, okay, for that money. Do you know how hard it was to get that money out of Congress? It was very hard. And I'll tell you how hard. You look at my diary for that year, and you know how hard it is to make music. And that was during that album. Back to Congress. How many times did I go back? 10 times. For meetings from 8 o'clock in the morning. I was up at 6, but meetings in Congress from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. Then for drinks with the chief of staff, or staffers. Then to dinner with Congress people. Then to open the right. And we got that money. It felt like an incredible achievement. And it is an incredible achievement. But you're saying to me, sure, you've only got $400 million out of mm-hmm. out of the Millennium Challenge. But how much have we got out on the aid spending so far? I can't remember. Right now, it's billions. I can't criticize a man who has trebled aid to Africa. Because especially after we asked him to, he said yes.
You feel you can't criticize him on the war in Iraq?
Everyone in the administration knows how I feel about the war in Iraq. Everyone knows. I was straight up about it. Do I campaign against the war in Iraq? No.
Why not? Don't you feel...
That's the compromise. I feel I gave that up. I started to work for other people whom I will never meet, but feel as I spend more and more time in Africa. I work for them. Those 180,000 people who are now owe their lives to American money to pay for these life-saving drugs, I work for them. I worked to get that. And I'm very proud of the work I did. And if me shooting my mouth off about the war in Iraq, not shooting my mouth off about the war, is the price I pay, because then I'm prepared to pay it.
Does it frustrate you not to be able to say what you think about that?
I'm a big-mouthed Irish rock star. Of course it frustrates me. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's like, I'm comfortable with my foot in my mouth. Sometimes I have to bite my hand. You know, but I have a completely open relationship with them. And I don't bring the subject up. But when it does come up, I'm very clear. You know, I think I can even be helpful. I have said, I said to Paul Wolfowitz when he was Undersecretary of Defense, and I work with him at the World Bank, I said to him at the time, I said, maybe the United States military should talk a little more to the British Army, mm-hmm. for instance, because there are, lessons to be learned from Ireland. And the British Army have a lot of experience of being shot at on street corners. Mm-hmm. I say, it's not my business, but maybe you should talk to them. Maybe you should see their, and if they ask me, I'm going to tell them. If I say to, they're trying to explain to, devout believers in Islam that they are a benign force in the world. Very difficult when, after shock and all. And I say, you could start in Africa. It's 40% Muslim.
Is there a bullets in the blue sky in you about Iraq?
It's called love and peace or else. I think it's pretty, there it is. Lay down your guns, all you daughters of Zion, all you Abraham's sons. I don't know if I can make it. I'm not easy on my knees. Here's my heart. You want to break it. We need some release. We need love and peace.
Talk back to this podcast. Call 206-888-6252. Or email your comments to rspodcast@gmail.com.